So Hare Krishna, I want to welcome all of you for your fourth day in the retreat. So far, so good. But it is important for me to encourage you to now see our retreat has entered the second half, and we are surely but safely, slowly but surely, approaching tomorrow, which is our 64 rounds day. It's a day when we would like to experience really what it means to chant according to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's standard, which, as you will hear tomorrow, was a standard which Srila Prabhupada did talk about in the early days of our movement. He conceived the Hare Krishna movement to be successful at a time when the devotees would really engage in two functions, that is, to themselves chant Hare Krishna in a concentrated, attentive, and unoffensive way, and when the movement would go out into the streets of the sinful Kali Yuga towns and distribute the holy name. So tomorrow we will really go into this experience, and as we have, I think, learned over the past days, that can be a difficult experience if we are not really connected with the practice. With connected, I mean, if our mind is not there, or our heart is not there, and of course, when we are too tired or too physically incapable, it can also be on our level difficult. So what we do in this retreat is we try to bring our mind and heart to Krishna consciousness through chanting together, through hearing about our philosophy together, through hearing about Krishna personally together. This is all meant to help us to really be there in Krishna consciousness, to be connected, to be present, you could also say, or to just be conscious, Krishna conscious. So I request you to utilize this day number four to your full attention. This morning's class will require a little concentration. But the Japa workshop will be an easy one today. Good. So on a personal note, I want to say I'm feeling greatly inspired in this retreat. I'm thinking you are moving along nice. And yesterday during the kirtan of Radha, to Shishi Radha Gopinath, I could see you had worked on your chanting. One can see. It's almost like we should make a photo of you the day when you arrive and the day after the retreat. I mean, there is definitely a remarkable difference there. You can look in the mirror and convince yourself. Don't look too much, because then you think you're the body. Hare Krishna. All right.
Deya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Gopidana Vallabha Giri Varadhani. Gopidana Vallabha Giri Varadhani. Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Natira vanachari, Yamunatira vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Punya Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Punya Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Sunya Vihari. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Radha, Gopinatha Radha, Gopinatha Radha. Jayom Vishnupat Paramahansa Paravraja Kacharya Ashtata Satasi Simatis Divine Grace Sila Abhe Charanaravinda Sila Bhakti Vedant Swami Maharaja Sila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anand Koti Vaishnavarinda Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya Sila Prabhupada Ki Jai Samavita Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaura Premanandi Hare Hare Bol All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to C.C. Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Sami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesa Sunyavadi Paskatyare Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Govakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
The morning classes are dedicated to reciting and then explaining the eight instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Shikshastakam prayers. Now these prayers are spoken at the final part or the closing part of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance here on this earth. And they are spoken to Lord Chaitanya's foremost associates, Swarup Damoda and Ramananda Roy. We can just picture the scene because by Krishna's mercy we do have a lot of information about Mahaprabhu in Puri. There's a small room, the Gambira, it is really small. I think it's a quadrangular place, that means 2 meters this direction, 2 meters that direction, even smaller, 1.80 meters. Mahaprabhu couldn't stretch himself out and sleep in one row. It was very, very small, and he was very tall. So there, in this setting, he expresses the reason why he has appeared. The room Gambira indicates what he discusses there. Gambira means very deep. These are very deep subjects, and I think as we go through our years in Krishna consciousness, where we hear often mention of the Shikshastaka prayers, we are surprised to always. Whenever we visit these prayers, we find, my God, there's so much more in them than I thought initially. So, yesterday we had a verse which moved Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very much. It is said when he spoke yesterday's verse, his humility increased very, very much. And while he was speaking this verse, he stopped for a moment and began praying to Krishna that he could discharge pure devotional service. He prayed to Krishna for bhakti. You know, he really was moved, and we can understand from the Vaishnava literature, he must have taken his hand and folded it most properly over his head, which is a sign of great supplication or prayer, or in some way did a, what we call in modern language, body language, which really meant he was really praying for Krishna. And he really felt that he did not yet have a drop of love for Krishna. Krishnadas Kaviraj says, wherever there is a relationship of love of Krishna, that means wherever there is love, its natural symptom is that the devotee does not think himself a devotee. Instead, he always thinks that he has not even a drop of love for Krishna. My dear devotees, there's never enough of love. When there's love, you don't say I've loved enough. You know, it's a true love is, and I'm speaking here of spiritual love to Krishna. True love is a point, is a feeling which never ever reaches the point of satiation, and that's good. It never becomes boring for you or uninteresting. It always remains first and foremost to a point that it engages you so entirely that everything else becomes excluded. You only have this in your mind at the end. So this is what we look for in this world, but in our loving relationships, we very, very quickly hit the bottom, bang, and we know it doesn't go further. So this love of Godhead, it's something else. So in this mood, with great prema and great humility, or dainya, Mahaprabhu cites this verse where he says that he is absolutely uninterested of the things of the world and only wants janmani janmanishvari, birth after birth, bhakti. No? So let us all chant this together, please. Madhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadishakamaye mama janmani janmani ishvare pavachat bhakti ahaitukitai. Once again, please. Nadhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadishakamaye mama janmani janmani ishvare pavajat bhakti ahai tuki tvai. O Lord of the universe, this is what I do not want any longer. I do not desire material wealth. I don't desire materialistic followers, nor a beautiful wife of fruitive activities described in so much flowery language. All I want, life after life, is unmotivated devotional service to you. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to explain his own verse. He said, "My dear Lord Krishna, I really do not want material wealth from you, nor do I want followers, a beautiful wife, or the results of fruitive activities. I only pray that by your causeless mercy, you give me pure devotional service to you, life after life." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu really prays here. And this is quite remarkable. What he mentions in this verse are purushartas. Purusha means the human being, and artha means what he considers valuable. In modern language, we would say the human needs, which are fourfold. Dharma, you want a religious life. Artha means wealth. Karma means sense gratification and the objects of sense gratification. And moksha means when your nose is full, when you had enough, then you want to give it all up and be freed from all this, liberated. See, many times when you ask why did you join the Hare Krishna movement, if you ask this to someone, you will find out that the reason was a human need. The person said, I had my nose full, you know, it was enough. I really want to now give it all up and be free. That's moksha. That's still a material motivation. Mahaprabhu, however, says, he doesn't care if he is reborn again. He says, life after life, no problem. All I want is this bhakti, this feeling for you. It's a very exalted prayer where he actually is done with the four human needs, the four purushatas. Now, this verse is not so easy to understand. There is a, that's one level that I think we can understand, but there is a very deep thing going on here, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains. In this verse, ruchi is expressed. That is a taste for Krishna, not a taste for things of this world any longer. And you know, love has this mood. It's exclusive. When it's really love, then it's exclusive. We have this feeling also in this world. Imagine, you know, there is a loving couple together. They sit in the rose garden under the tree on a bench. They are visitors to Radhadesh. They are not from the community. And they express their hearts to themselves. And then the boy says to the girl, by the way, I have expressed my heart to yourself, but I really also like, in exactly the same way, maybe a little bit more, one girl from Amsterdam. Oops. Then the girl gets feelings of insecurity, goes to the bakery, gets a cake, and then throws it into the face of her proposed lover. You know, because love has to be is an exclusive feeling. So love of Krishna is also something where you turn away and you turn towards. First you turn to Krishna, and then the result is you develop virakti, or a feeling of detachment for other things. Now, this is very interestingly explained in two names which are mentioned by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has this name, Jagadisha, and then he has another word, Ishvara, not word, name of Krishna. Jagadisha means the Lord of this Jagat, this universe. And the Bhata Jivas, that means the bound souls in this world, usually turn to Jagadisha, the Lord of this universe. It's Paramatma who rules this universe, who's there really in every atom. Vasudev, he's all-pervading Lord, and the souls naturally turn to him. I learned from the lecture of of our Prahladananda Maharaj, there is even this song, Jai Jagadisha Hare. And then he gave some translation of this song, which I had not heard before, where the person worships the Lord very clearly for material reasons. Give me this, give me that, and give me the other thing. So this is natural for the conditioned soul. He wants to fulfill his desires, and he turns to the Lord of the universe for help. There is one chapel in Germany. You will be surprised to hear the town. It has a very melodious name, Niederaltötting. And in this chapel, you will find a book. It's increasingly big, and it describes how people came there, prayed for health to the Lord of the universe, and how their wish was granted. Maybe you have these in Lourdes also, in such places. There are places where people very clearly go, but even though not everyone turns really to God, maybe in such a conscious way, but I think all conditioned souls, I mean, what I want to say, they may not be great devotees of Jagadisha, but at one stage in the life, everyone turns up to heavens, looks into the universe and says, if you are there, please help me, I'm in trouble. So this is a natural cause. Now, one who has attained genuine taste in Krishna consciousness gives these human desires up, and with them also he turns from the Lord of this world, who is Paramatma, or Jagadisha, the controller of this world, Mayadhyakshena, under whose aksha, or order this world moves. When at Ruchi he turns away from his desires, he also, in a way, turns away from the Lord of this world, and he puts his whole attention to the transcendental Lord in the kingdom of love, the spiritual world, whom he then calls Praneshvara. Praneshvara means, or Ishvara, you are the controller. You are in charge of my prana, of my life. I'm for your service. I want to serve you. I don't want you to serve me like I did when I was in this world, or in the worldly consciousness, the material consciousness, where I turned to you for so many of my concerns and my desires, that you give me this and give me that, for my unending material desires. Now I acknowledge that you are here in charge, and I want to serve you. Hare Krishna. My dear devotees, as soon as you can come to this turning point in your life, that time you will be really happy. See, what is behind our material desires? It's really a desire for security. We want to have some knowledge so that we can understand our world better and how to behave. And we really want happiness in our life. According to Sigmund Freud, that's really happiness, or which he sees and is in the topmost sensual gratification. That controls the world. But there are more desires. Security is also there, and the knowledge, the desire for knowledge. Now, my dear devotees, this is what is behind all your desires. The desire for sat means eternal existence, this is security, chit, or knowledge, and ananda, or happiness. The driving force behind every material desire is ultimately a spiritual desire for one's spiritual existence, sachit ananda. I think you know these terms very well. Now, whereas in the Baddha Jiva, means the bound soul, wants these things in a world where it cannot be had, the one who wakes up, the awakened soul, understands my security, my knowledge, and my happiness cannot be found here in this world. It's almost like, Prabhuji, Nidra Devi has embraced you. That's not good for a brahmachari. Hare Krishna. It's important to wake up. So, you know, you can't find water in the desert. A person who wakes up understands this simple fact. And therefore, he turns away from this illusory world, and he develops three desires. Now, this is very important, my dear devotees. We usually are influenced by our material desires and look for fulfillment while turning to this world and the Lord of this world. When you wake up, you actually have three desires. I once heard a devotee give a wonderful explanation. He said, it's the maturation of desires. You know, when someone matures in life, let me give you a physical example, he develops certain desires. Like when I remember when we as young boys, you know, I'm from a good German education, I have to say this, I went to the dancing school. Dancing school for German boys means you learn manners, how to dress on Sunday, how to greet elders, what else, how to honor the festival days with proper gifts, like what you give on Christmas, what you give on Mother's Day, and so on. It's really how to learn good behavior. And I remember one of the trainings was we had to learn these classical dances, waltz. Yes, I know waltz. And I know about five classical dances. I'm not dancing like this because you would all stop dancing. It's very very nice dance movements I have learned when I was young. And you have to learn all this, and it's for young boys who want to play. It's the most boring thing in the universe. So I do remember I was extremely bored, as I was in all types of schools, and I still remember I was so frustrated that my dancing partners, which were girls from good school, from good house, and family backgrounds, I would vent my frustration on them. I would always, you know, they all had these aprons. Do you know what is an apron? It's you buy. Our cook most probably has it. It's a little thing, apron. It's called apron. Good. You bind it in the back. And I would always, you know, there was a dance wall, and I would always untie the aprons. And I mean, there was no sinful intention, or there was no. And this was then move around. It would look really awkward, and you know they were fully dressed. It was not a, you know, this, you're dressed in normal way as a girl, and then you have this over you. You know, if you see old movies, you can see this. So I would always untie it, and they would go, "Ah, why did you do this? I look terrible now." And finally, I had to be banned from the dancing school. Which was my whole intention, because I behaved so impossible towards the girls, you know. I just totally unnerved them, and no one wanted to dance with me, and that was good. I'm sorry, but I come to a valuable point. Don't worry, it's not. What do we hear here this morning? We wanted to hear some Krishna conscious. It will come, don't worry. So then came a time, I do remember this time, and it's an embarrassing time, when my whole perspective changed towards girls. I thought, oh, they also have a point. They are interesting people there. In the beginning, you think they are just foolish, and they cry, and they don't know wrestling. And you are not interested as a boy. But then, as there is what they call physical maturity, other perspective develops. So in Krishna consciousness, we also understand this. It's important that we mature. Other desires, other perspectives has to come. It's called ruchi, to become attracted to Krishna. That is the maturation of your spiritual life. It has to come. If you don't mature, you will always remain boyish or girlish, or just, let us say a philosophical term, an absolute kanishta, an absolute beginner, a neophyte, a greenhorn in your spiritual practice. So here are, just like a young boy and a young girl change their attitude and their desires also, they will all of a sudden like to spend time together and discuss things together and maybe do things together. So you have to come to the to these three desires in your life if you want to mature. These are the three desires which you develop when you turn really to Krishna. The first is it's called Anukulya Abhilash in the language of Rupa Goswami. Abhilash means a desire, a strong desire to serve Krishna favorably. You want to give pleasure to Krishna. You want to do something which pleases him. This desire is coming in your heart at that time when you develop Ruchi. The second desire is called Prapt Abhilas. Prapti means to attain something. What you want to attain is a very specific service. Rupa Goswami said, when, O Krishna, will you tell me to fan you like this? Please turn a moment to the altar and you see next to Radha Gopinath two gopis. They are Lalita and Vishakha. I must confess my ignorance. Who is Lalita? Is she on the right side, on the flute side? Yeah, Lalita. Lalita is on the flute side of Gopinath, you know, where Gopinath's flute goes. We never say she's on the left because that would be anthropocentric vision. She is really on the right. You know, Krishna's in the center. You're not in the center in Krishna consciousness. So she is on the right of Krishna. And you see there is a fan in her raised hand. That's her seva here in this particular scene. And then there is Vishakha on Radha's left, huh? Yes. So they fan, and Rupa Goswami wants that one day, even Janmani Janmanishwari, after many many births and deaths, he expresses, when will the time come when you will direct me in the specific service of fanning? It must be a science, you know. It's not just up and down. There must be, you know, in Vrindavan, I think there is, I have heard that there is a real science how to fan. You won't believe how delicate, how scientific, scientific is our word, but how it is. And finally, the third desire is Soharda Abhilas. It's a desire to establish an affectionate relationship with Krishna. I think you all know these desires. Many of you are dressed in white, I notice. You must be married, or you must be contemplating to marry at one stage in your life. And there must be a feeling that I would like to have an affectionate relationship. It should be with affection. It should not be duty-bound. It should be, there should be a fulfilling relationship. Huh? So when you mature in your spiritual life, you want this in relationship to Krishna also. This will come at a natural stage of your maturation in your spiritual life. And I want to say, these levels of advancement are interpenetrating each other. In other words, while you are on the stage of Shraddha or Anatta Nivritti, sometimes I think you stand before the deity and you pray, my dear Lord, let me become more close to you. I realize, especially some devotees tell me always at these retreats, Maharaj, you make us cry and you make us laugh. You make us cry because we sometimes understand when you talk about these things so much from the scriptures that we really are new in the school of bhakti. We are just beginning here. It is sometimes a little bit sobering. That is intended, by the way. There is a turning point, and in this verse, Mahaprabhu speaks about this turning point. First, you are what you call aruchi. You don't have a taste in Krishna. You have attachments to the material world. You are bound by ropes of attachments which pull you. Then you come to the turning point where you really let go more and more of these material attachments, and you have really taste. I like this. First, what you say, where your taste is born in the process of devotional service. It's still a little bit weak, and the example has been given of kirtan. You like kirtan. Do you sometimes come to this point where you say, I like this? Our internet film, Steven Spielberg, who's with us, our Vince, says, I like this so much now. I don't want to be at any other place. Do you also have this sometimes? This is when your ruchi begins to awaken. It can be felt even at a stage of Krishna consciousness, which is very well within our experience. But because the taste is a little weak, when someone sings the kirtan who may not sing the melody correctly, and who and the madanga is out of tune, it's too fast or too slow, or the cartals are out of rhythm, then you leave the kirtan. In your taste, in other words, you are still dependent on the external features like rhythm and melody and skillfulness of the kirtan leaders. But as your ruchi becomes really fully blossomed, my dear devotees, you will just go in ecstasy when you only hear Hari Hari. We hear this in Mahaprabhu's Leela when he returned from Gaya. Then he came back to his school, and when the school starts in his toll means the school. There was this practice, like it was at that time all over India, when the students would open their books, they would chant Hari Hari. It's actually a nice. Maybe you could also, because it's traditional. If you want to increase your chanting, whenever you open a book, why not chant Hari Hari or Krishna Krishna? You should, by the way, do this always chant. You know, Kirtaniya Sadahari. That's our goal. But you know, anyway. So I chant when I pick up my telephone. I have this on my telephone, a little note. You know, while you do your other work, don't forget to chant the holy name. Everything else will be stolen from you at the time of death. I have this note on my telephone. When my telephone goes ring, ring, I look to the telephone and the note, while you do your other work, always chant, everything else will be stolen from you at the time of death. So I go to the, and go, Hari, Hari, or Krishna, Krishna, and then go to the telephone. Except when I'm in Maya, then I go, hello. No, I say Hari Bol by now, Hari Bol. When Mahaprabhu heard his students only chanting without rhythm, without good melody, just Hari Hari, he went like, and started to dance uncontrollable. Tears came from his eyes, and he began to his lesson and explained everything. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. This Dhatu means Krishna. That conjunction, the Sandhi, refers to Krishna meeting his cowherd boyfriends. The students look like this. Trying to understand. At the end, Mahaprabhu said, how was my explanation today? The student said, "Very good, you talked only about Krishna, but we couldn't understand anything." So yes, this means taste, my dear devotees. And a person who has no taste lacks three profound realizations. He cannot think of himself in relationship to Krishna. He just, Krishna, forest of Vrindavan, this is too high for me. And he puts the matter at rest. He lacks a specific desire to do something for Krishna. He just, okay, what's the in terms of Krishna Lila, Krishna in his own world. You know, we think now of Praneshvara, the Lord not of this world, that's Paramatma, Jagadisha. He wants to relate to the Lord of Vrindavan, and he still doesn't know, will my service be accepted by Krishna? He, you know, the Ajata person is not sure about his relationship to Krishna, whereas someone who has taste, even though he may be still lacking this and that, he knows, I just want Krishna. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, even if I still have so many material desires, I want to serve Krishna. And even if Brahma would come, the creator of this universe, and tell me, don't forget this Krishna, you won't make this, you know, I would still not give up this desire to become Krishna's devotee. My dear devotees, I want to now jump over many points, but I want to come to my real point. I have not come to my point as of yet. I'm feeling, don't worry, I will come to it very clearly. What does all this mean to our chanting and our japa retreat or kirtan retreat? Please don't just tell us any philosophy. There's so many points. Tell us something which is useful. Tomorrow comes my 64 rounds day. I need still to get equipped for that. You know, don't here display a false display of your knowledge of the verse. What I want to know, tell us about chanting. Here it comes. As long as you don't have any taste, it's very difficult to chant. In text 7 of the Nectar of Instruction, Rupa Goswami talks about this. The holy name, he talks about three things. The holy name, the character, the pastimes, quality and the activities of Krishna are all so transcendentally sweet, like sugar candy. Holy name, so sweet. Activities of Krishna, Krishna Lila, so sweet, like sugar candy. But when the tongue is afflicted by the jaundice of avidya, ignorance, one cannot taste anything sweet. This is what is aruchi. Although it is so sweet, Krishna consciousness, if you still have this no taste disease, this aruchi, you just can't taste it. It tastes bitter. I have this medicine against cold and fever, which I have to take religiously every day. And when I take it, I have to keep it in the mouth for 2 minutes, is the instruction of the doctor. And then, after 2 minutes, the whole mouth goes like... It somehow pulls you in. The mouth comes into the stomach, and the stomach in the mouth. It's not a pleasant experience at all. And then you want to take some, tastes bitter, the word is astringent, it pulls everything together. And then you want to loosen the mouth, and you take a spoon of honey afterwards, or little honey, and the honey tastes like like really the most terrible thing in the universe, like maybe what a cat leaves when its digestion process is completed, you know, it really tastes horrible. But the honey is sweet. I can give it to Gaurahari and if it's too sweet for me, I'm a brahmachari. It is so sweet, but when your taste is adulterated, you just don't get it. So in the same way it is with when you have no taste in Krishna consciousness, chanting is bitter. Some of you tomorrow might go for 1 minute through the bitter zone. Might. This is what Rupa Goswami describes. Now, but when in the text 8, he says, he talks about Ruchi chanting. The essence of all advice is that one utilizes one's full time, this is 24 hours a day, in nicely chanting and remembering the Lord's divine name. Forget about 64 rounds. Rupa Goswami talks here about Akanda Naam Seva. That means serving the holy name without any interruption, not even the interruption of sleep. That means he likes it. Taste, full taste. He wouldn't trade it for anything else, or there would be no better place he can imagine than being in this chanting his rounds. Now you will ask the natural question, how will I ever develop this taste? And I will answer this a little bit more. And I will answer this in the workshop, but here I want to speak about the darkness of the heart. My dear devotees, human beings have made endeavors to bring away the darkness. There's electricity in the night. In this world, Krishna has given us two lamps, the sun and the moon. But all this, fire, moon, sun, can dispel only one type of darkness, not the second type of darkness. External darkness can be removed by the sun and by the moon, not the internal darkness, which is the tama, the ignorance which covers the heart. And you know, we feel slightly uncomfortable when we walk in the darkness. We feel uncomfortable because we feel fear. I remember another year I was in Radhadesh, and I was very late for Mangal Aarti, so I ran from the guest house because I really wanted to make it on time and show Hriday Chaitanya that I also come to Mangal Aarti. So I ran through the darkness and I came around the bend, and I somehow bumped into a man who was also on the way. You know, it was a particularly dark corner, I remember. That somehow it was dark. And that man began to scream as if he had met Dracula in the night, you know. And I said, please, 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 it's me, it's a harmless person. He couldn't stop, and I definitely came too late to Mangal Aarti because I had to some Prabhu, no problem. Prabhu, it's me, look here. Very harmless, you know. I have good intentions, I won't kill you. We are afraid in the darkness. You know, we are afraid. It's unpleasant. But there is a more terrible darkness than the external darkness. That's the darkness of the, which covers the soul. The darkness of ignorance, my dear devotees. And this darkness is problematic because you can't take a match. You can't go like, look, it's me, you know, or have a thing. Or you can't go to a well-lit place, or the sun can't move it away, the moon can't move it away, fire can't move it away. The darkness of ignorance around the soul is so bad you don't even see it sometimes. In ignorance, you think it's all right. My life is all right. I have something to eat, you know. It's this darkness, my dear devotees, has to be removed by God. Nothing material will work. Krishna has to remove the darkness of the soul. And we hear in the Bhagavad Gita that kampatam aham agyana yangtama nashayat yami. Yes, this verse. I'm at the moment too much in thinking about this point. I have forgotten everything else. Krishna says, I, who am situated in the heart with the flaming light of the torch, I put the torch on, you know, and then by my strength, the darkness of the soul is removed. You need Krishna to remove the darkness of your soul. No one else can do that work for you. No doctor, no psychotherapeut, no one, you know. You need Krishna. And that's why Krishna's Kaviraj speaks about a sun and a moon, which can bring away the darkness of the heart. It's Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda who have arisen like the sun and the moon on the horizon of Golda to dispel this darkness of the heart of the conditioned soul. He says, whereas an ordinary moon and sun can dispel the external darkness and show you pots and everything, the objects of the world, by Krishna's mercy, Sri Krishna Chaitanya's mercy, that darkness of the soul will go, which forces you to take birth again and again. Taste, in other words, which arises when avidya, the disease of avidya has gone, this ignorance. Huh? Taste is given by Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Especially he gives this through the process of chanting Hare Krishna. So therefore, if you wish to arrive at this turning point in your spiritual life and not waste your time where you remain bound and attracted to the material world, you will have to pray to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and you will sincerely, because he doesn't see your mistakes, he is just so generous, you know, you have to sincerely connect with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabodhananda Saraswati says, this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is luminous, he is effulgence, he has this golden effulgence, and Rupa Goswami prays for Spuratu Va Sachinandana, may Sachinandan Gaurahari appear in the innermost core of your heart to drive away the darkness which is there. So, if you really want to go to the Nadanam Shloka, I don't want this, the things of the world, you can only stop wanting these things when the darkness of your heart goes away. You are dark in your heart. You are a prince of darkness or a princess of darkness in your heart. You are covered with avidya, with ignorance, and that's why you want Satchit Ananda, security, knowledge, and happiness in this world. Are we not like people who are drinkers, or is it drinkers? Yeah, drinkers, drunkards. You say, drunkards. We drink, but the drink destroys us. It makes is bad for the nerves, bad for the brain cells. I heard 20 million brain cells die when you are fully drunk. You know, 20 million. I can't believe it so much, but it's a lot. You know. Sounds true, you know, a lot, you know, you have also a lot, but each time you kill yourself, attack, 20 million, paying, you know. The drunkard only wants happiness, but he kills himself. In the same way, we only want Krishna, we want Sachit Ananda, but we go to this world and look there. Why? Why? Because there's so much ignorance, avidya, covering the soul. And that can only go away by Krishna's mercy. Out of my mercy, I, dwelling in the heart, take the blazing torch of knowledge and remove that darkness. Huh? Yes. Pray for the darkness to disappear. And pray at the right address. Don't go to the Lord who is so... Don't go to Krishna only, you know. Go to Krishna, but, you know, I'm just saying, Krishna is so... he wants Savara. He wants that you give up everything first, and then he gives you... go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's more kind. I mean... Mahaprabhu. I don't want to speak before Radha Gopinath. They're also very kind. I mean, how can you say one Krishna is kinder than the other Krishna? But just for practical purposes, you know, you take the road to Gauranga. Yes. And then, as you take this road, you will see that your heart becomes overflooded with other desires. It's like this. Your desires are outward going. These material desires are like rivers who flow. Now, the moment you want devotional, you come in contact with devotional service or an experience of devotion, another flow starts. It's the tide from the ocean, which comes over the rivers. The riverways flow always, says Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. That means the desires can't be stopped. The waves of the river flow towards the sea. However, when the tide comes, do you know what is tide? It's like a flood. When the flood comes over the river, it overwhelms the flowing of the river, and the river itself becomes overflooded. And then the waves from the sea become more prominent than the waves from the river. You know, I'm a man from an island. I lived 8 years on an island. But that was the Eastern Sea. Then our family went to Hamburg, where there is a Northern Sea. The Northern Sea moves with flood and tide, you know, with the flood. So there's the river Elbe. Do you know a little geography? Do you learn this in your... Anyways, German geography is not... learn something else. Bratsch geography or so. The river Elbe comes into the sea. And when I remember, we went with the school in this particular boat. And then the teacher said, see, here are the waves of the river. Yes, we saw. Oh, yes, we can see. And then now... The North Sea, it's called Nordsee, is rising. Do you see? We came at the time, and then I saw waves coming from the other side, from the ocean. And they were coming to the waves, small waves of the river, and the ocean was coming, and there was a turmoil. And then the waves came over the river, and it was gone. Similarly, Prabhupada says, a devotee with intelligence plans so many things for the service of the Lord in Krishna consciousness, so that stagnant material desires become overflooded by the desire to serve the Lord. This is Krishna consciousness. You should develop desires for Krishna. This is ruchi, taste. You should develop desires. And because we are beginners, start with your service. Your most important service is your chanting. So desire to chant properly. Go, awaken this desire for tomorrow that on my 64-ounce day, I know this will be a day which will be a challenge. It's something to think of, but I will do it. I want to chant. I don't want to be a shadow devotee. What will I do if I'm always with these material desires? I will just waste my time, and I will also bloop, I will go away because I can't taste it, what it's all about. So tomorrow, desire a little bit that you will do service for Krishna. Or desire service. I always tell everyone I want to take over the world with Krishna consciousness. It has not yet happened. I'm an insignificant person. Also in comparison to my other God brothers who do such wonderful services all over the world. But I allow myself this desire, a strong desire which overfloods my material desires. And that is the only way. Hare Krishna. I've come to the end. We have time for one relevant question. Yes, our Prabhu. Let us see if there is a question relating to the lecture first. No? Our Gopal. Is it a true question or is it just because there has to be a question? It's a true question. Good, Gopal. Speak. We can do the service, says Gopal, Prabhu, and Chaitanya Charitamrita says we can go on for millions of lifetimes if the covering remains. There's a covering of avidya and also the covering. One of the aspects of this ignorance is that you commit aparad. It's because of the aparad, the offenses which you do in your chanting, that the chanting is not efficient. Therefore, the Padma Purana asks this question, this curious question. What is it that covers the good which comes through chanting, so that the chanter doesn't experience the fruit of chanting? And the answer is, it's aparad. Aparad is part of this covering of ignorance, of avidya, this material energy of avidya shakti, which is there, will also make you turn against Krishna. That's what the world, it will make you a bahirmukha person, a person who is not sevanmukha, who's not turning his face to Krishna. So these aparadhas are very difficult to go, but it's said if one takes shelter under Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda, then this aparada will not be considered and will be removed. They will come and take this ignorance of aparad, or this darkness covering the soul, away from you. See, when you are... I'm working at the moment, I'm actually working since 3 years on a project. It's the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained through the perspective of Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur in Chaitanya Chandramrita. And there, Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur does a great service to us. He doesn't describe the pastimes in a sequential order, but he describes, visions he has of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, visions in the heart of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And these are meditations. If you do these meditations, Gauranga will come in. You also share in the perspective of someone in whose heart Gauranga arises, they are of a very, very strong nature. They have little vignettes, little meditations, Gauranga meditations. And I'm preparing this. It is not so easy because, he has written this on a very high level of devotion, and to explain it is not so easy. Praying, and I'm. And you brought me a Chaitanya Charitamrita. I'm studying very hard on this project. It's not a matter so much of study. I have to become more pure. I know I have to trying. Anyways, so offenses go when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is so much full of light and bright, he takes this ignorance away. He's our recourse for this. And then only can the chanting work. But I think also when we have these retreats, what I notice as I look at you and as I go amongst you and watch you silently, I notice that a community spirit is created amongst you. You're dealing nicely with each other. You do service to each other. You talk and reveal your mind to each other. I can see that, when devotees cryingly tell things, I don't know exactly what they tell, but they tell something which is deep in their heart, which moves them very much, We're building a community which is a Vaishnav community, how Vaishnava should be. Or like yesterday, you actually talked about Krishna to your neighbor. Did you notice that? You actually did it. What is what you're supposed to do? Talk about Krishna. You actually did it yesterday. We create a Vaishnav community, a community when we dedicate ourselves to spiritual practice, And of course, we live in temple. Not we, but some of us live in temple community. So for some of us, it's not entirely new. But still, I have noticed when we go, the temple devotees participate, they also become more kind to each other. Hare Krishna. I saw that very much in Goloka Dham. Anyways, I don't. I don't want to speak about specific projects. So, yes, when the Krishna consciousness rises, the Krishna conscious community spirit rises, which means there are also not these unintentional offenses, which we do. It's offenses which creates all our problem and increases the darkness. I've gone 4 minutes over time, something which I should avoid. Thank you very much for listening. I request you to take your prasadam maybe take good care of yourself. At 11 o'clock sharp, we will continue with the retreat in the community hall. Srila Prabhupada ki, go premanandi, hari hari bo, Krishna, Krishna. Hare Krishna. Sorry, Prabhu. I'm caring for you. Some humor must be there, yes.
It was a little bit too late yesterday.
Yeah.